Hi, everyone, and welcome back to For Designer Business, the podcast where we help interior designers just like you build businesses that work as beautifully as their designs. I'm Shayna Rose, founder and CEO of 4D Biz.
And I'm Evelyn, co-founder and CMO of 4D Biz. If you've been tuning in, you know we're not afraid to dig into the real work behind running a design business. Today, we're getting right to the root, your business foundation.
If you've ever wondered what it really takes to move from chaos to clarity or how to build systems that let you grow without burning out, this episode is for you. We'll be pulling back the curtain on how our executive team works alongside designers, showing you exactly how we guide, structure, and support every foundational project, process, and system that keeps your business running smoothly and sustainably.
We'll talk about the real-life challenges designers face as they scale and how executive-level support can help you stop reinventing the wheel, delegate with confidence, and finally get your business working for you, not the other way around.
We're diving into the practical strategies, executive tools, and mindset shifts that empower you to create a business foundation you can trust so you can spend less time worrying about operations and more time doing the creative work that inspires you.
Whether you're just starting to think like a CEO or you're ready to take your business to the next level, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. All right, so today we really just want to lay out on the table, get it all on the board, all of the projects, that's kind of our vocabulary for this, but all of the things that our executive team can help you with in the foundation of your business. Today's F word that Stephen doesn't have to bleep out is foundation. Let's count how many times in this episode we say that.
Foundation, foundation, foundation. Beep, beep, add to the beep. Count. Whether you are coming in from the last episode, we talked about these three types of designers, whether you're preparing to delegate to an assistant, come to us first and work on foundation. That is the most calming path you can take. Or if you are underwater and you're nearing the point or you need it right now, come to us first. Let's fix the foundation of your pricing model and then you can get an assistant. Or you are extremely underwater. You barely have time in your day. We're going to give you assistance first, and then we're going to quickly boomerang you back to foundation to focus on the things that we need to do. So it is all about the foundation.
Because a lot of times when you meet one of those challenges, you're like, oh, foundation. That's where it came from. So this is all of the ways that our executive team support that. Tell me if you disagree. I think this is a little bit chronological in nature. Of course, every designer's needs are a little bit different, or they have one of these foundational things already set. So we're moving that around. But in general, there's a flow that we recommend. So let's try to take that journey as chronologically as possible. So kick us off.
First stop on the bus is the sales. The first touch point, how you're bringing clients in, from that discovery call, free conversation, through closing them, through an intake process, to a larger sale of service. How are we doing that consistently? How are we controlling the money inside of that? How does that tie into your contract? How are you pitching and closing and negotiating these services with your client? Not negotiating your hourly rate, negotiating the design deliverables or levels of service that you're willing to offer. And how are we tying that up to prep them for their project kickoff once they sign that contract and submit their payment? That whole process right there is focus number one on the foundation.
Stop number one on the bus. Here's what I want to say really quickly, because I already can feel pushback from someone listening to this. Some designers come when they are not busy yet and their pipeline is not full yet. And the first thing they want to talk about is lead gen. And I get that. Obviously, that makes total sense to me. But even if lead generation was a faucet that you just turn on and leads start flowing out, which we know it doesn't work that way in this industry. Exactly. But even if it was, let's say we turn that faucet on and you don't have all this foundation in place, you are not going to be happy with the journey that those clients take with you, with the way that those projects play out, with the profitability at the end of that, with the boundaries that you're setting. And you're going to come back wishing that that faucet could turn off because these projects aren't going in a way that is inside your control. So this really does belong at stop number one.
And here's the reality of that lead gen. You know, we're just going to be a whole other episode on this as well, because I totally don't want to go too into the weeds with it. But, you know, lead gen starts with you. You are the lead generator. You, your mouth, what comes out of it is the sales process.
The people you meet, the hands that you shake,
how you speak about your services, yourself. So through this conversation of the sales, and yes, there's work on the pricing model and the contracts and the logistics of it, we're working on how you talk about your services. We're working on how you close someone in 30 minutes to somewhere between $1,200 and maybe $400 if you have that flat fee intake process to this greater level of sale. These things are what's going to help in these 30-second elevator pitch conversations at networking events that you need to go to, or in these one-to-one conversations you're going to have with real estate agents, builders, financial advisors, divorce attorneys, people who are working with your type of client to help them in transition. You knowing how to speak about these services, not just I'm a designer and I can help craft beautiful homes. That's not it. That's definitely not it.
Right. And don't hear me wrong, because certainly lead gen is in this conversation. It is on the bus route, but I just wanted to kind of get ahead of that thought process that I think a lot of designers come thinking backwards of what we recommend and what we've seen feel most successful. Because certainly, like Shayna, as your fractional CEO, talking about how you're tracking these deals and this referral partnerships on my end and the marketing and lead gen, yes, we are totally going to get there and make sure you feel clear on your strategy with that. But we're starting at stop number one on the foundational bus. And we really see the pricing model as the nucleus, as Shayna would say, of everything that spreads out from there.
Yeah. Your process will calculate your design fee. How you want to close that to your client, there's options, right? And that also will depend on where you are in business, what your growth marker is. But foundationally, it's all very similar. You may just change the way in which you close the deal to the client down the road. And also, when we return to it and you've gained experience, once you've defined this process, you are going to then go backwards and redefine it. Because once your brain understands, okay, this is the process I set, now I'm executing projects with this process top of mind, maybe it's actually not that right to what my process really is. It felt right when we were talking about it, but now when I'm executing it, I need to make some changes to it. Or as I'm growing and evolving, I'm adding to it. That affects time, that affects price, or I'm enhancing my deliverables.
Or you're looking at the data and seeing that the time estimates you put to things aren't lining up exactly where you expected them to be. That's a great business owner that's looking at that, clocking that, iterating based on that, and going back to really make sure that everything's coming from an educated place.
100%. So I would say that's the first stop on the bus that triggers a lot of mini stops on the bus.
Yeah, because the contract is certainly a mini stop that is its whole own kind of download from there. Of course, you're going to have templates and things that these designers can work from. But at the end of the day, every boundary that's important to them belongs in the contract so that they can truly stand by it.
And so naturally, what comes next after we kind of define these things, how we price and close. And I like to focus on that quickly first so that that very next opportunity that comes in, we're able to implement right away. Because the next stop on the bus is about enhancing the visual experience to the client throughout your closing process. And you might not have that, right? A really strong salesperson doesn't necessarily need informational documents being sent, like welcome packets.
Your client onboarding and intake journey, your client experience from their very first interaction, whether that's that website contact form, till the day that they sign the contract. This is what we're kind of talking about now. How branded that's going to be, how much automation versus manual touch points is going to be locked into all of that, what kind of documents and guides that you're sending that client throughout that. Are you scheduling digitally? Are you still picking up the phone and scheduling? There are so many variations of what this looks like based on you, your team, what's going to work for you, what you know about your target client. So it's not to get locked into like what exactly this journey looks like, but to understand the importance of that and how it is in direct communication with how you're selling those services and everything that Shayna just talked about.
Yeah. And again, it matters where your growth marker is. Because in the beginning, when you're available and you have time to kind of do it all, these types of sends don't feel essential. Because if you're strong in sales, you will carry the whole process without anything. What these deliverables are going to do is reinforce what you're saying throughout the conversations, prepare you that when you get busy and need support in the sales process, you can have a process that an individual can support that can also buy you time and feed clients information instead of questioning you what's next. And it definitely makes you look a lot more professional. And lastly, organized for your team and prepared to delegate. Because if you don't have those intake questionnaires where you're collecting the baseline of information and taking them on a journey through your initial consultation where you're defining style and color and these kind of big picture items, if we don't have all of that in the beginning and we're cutting that out and then you're plugging into support when that project closes, the reference point is next to none for who that client is, for all the information you have collected with your client. Now your team really knows nothing and there's nothing to point them to what the client actually spoke about, what they're interested in, et cetera. So we do craft process throughout that onboarding journey.
Absolutely. And another one is just the reinvention of the wheel and the exhaustion that that leads to. I have clients who literally every time a lead comes in are just rewriting that first email live in real time. We can in time do better than that and really have a system set in place that requires so little mental effort from you, so little time from you until they have at minimum purchased that first consultation. Because if you're spending tons of time on every single proposal, steps one and two on the bus have already saved you so much time and headache and heartache through that process. It's going to feel way better.
Yeah. In that project, you've got email templates, questionnaires, welcome packets, investment guides, maybe FAQs.
Schedulers, automatic follow-up so you don't have to do that anymore.
Well, that's going to a higher level growth marker, right? This process takes a journey. You have a simplified approach if you're just running this through yourself and a light level of enhancement. Then you're preparing to integrate support into the process. So now we're building out a more in-depth process with questionnaires and informational documents to send the client. We're creating a process that your assistant is going to be manually sending these things and following up. And then that higher level growth marker is we're going to automate that process and cut out the time you're going to spend to pay an assistant to support you through that. And you don't have to be a massive project volume to think automation. I think that's like a stigma. And it does, of course, it helps volume, but also it just simply reinforces process and takes, so it's a AI admin, you know, on your client onboarding. You do that foundation one time.
It's also more and more what people are expecting. A lot of designers are like, well, I don't want it to feel like an automation, or personal is so important to me. And that is great. And in your templates, we're certainly going to work on that, making sure it's branded, making sure it still feels like it comes from you. But people are more and more online now. People expect that instant gratification of you are confirmed. This is your receipt. People are used to instant responses, and you as an individual cannot be held accountable to being instantly responsive to these people. And so I think that if you're leaning back a little bit and hesitating about that idea of automation, there are ways that it can be done very tastefully and still give your prospective clients and your current clients what they're expecting from their experience with you.
And if you're at that growth marker where we're going to integrate the technology, I think something that people don't realize is we're always thinking of automation as this forward-facing tool for your client. but it's an internal delegation tool for you as well. You can have a very concierge approach where that automation to the email is just that instant gratification of an email saying this human is going to be calling you and contacting you within 24 hours to schedule your appointment. And the automation and the value of it for that team is all the internal things. The second that client pays, there's an internal email fired off to whatever admin you want to contact this person that says, hey, this person signed and paid, and contact them.
Here's their phone number.
Exactly.
Here's what they said, their ideal project timeline. Like, you can even fire off the specific details you want that admin going over in the discovery call, whatever it is that looks like. We don't need to go into weeds of all the different variations of exactly how this is done. But the idea is to give you that peace of mind that automation is on a spectrum and we can really make it work for you for the pain points that you have through this process that is taking valuable time that really shouldn't be you until they have paid to have you there for a consultation. And that's important.
Yeah. So sales, onboarding process, all the deliverables and informational journey that you take that client on. Now we've gotten the bus kind of past that stop. We've controlled the money. We've closed the client. We've collected necessary information. We're organized and ready to go, whether you're pushing it manually or you're at that level where you're automating and your process is locked. Now, next steps. For me, next steps looks like all of your internal project templates. So what we've just focused on is the front end of the sales. Now we've closed the client. Now we've got to look at your internal process, which is roughly mapped out. If we've worked on your pricing model, we have this wireframed process. But now we're getting into the weeds. How many people are reinventing the presentation wheel over and over? It's exhausting. And then they're like, well, this is what it is, but you know, it kind of changes and I don't love it. And da-da-da. Nope. No. Yes, there are, of course, all these different variations, but the process takes a client through conceptual presentations into detailed design or initial presentations of the design. The design gets refined. There's a final design presentation. We wrap it up with a schedule, a foundation format for the contractor binder set. That's what it is. And yes, the argument is some projects aren't going to have all of those pieces, and that's okay. But there should absolutely be templates for this journey so that you're never disappointed. It hits the mark. The branding set, the way the titles are, the way you like your images, placeholders for images on there, informational text boxes as placeholders. And there are also ways to crazy streamline this process as well. If you're someone that likes the informational conceptual presentation, as I say, it's kind of reiterating scope and tone and vibe, and it's kind of fluffy, you know, and call it the fluff presentation. Those are things that you can also have a library bank of. And you can spit out these adjectives to an assistant who has a library of what that adjective means, married to an image, and completely streamline your mood board or inspiration presentation, conceptual, whatever you're calling it. It can literally be as easy as possibly creating a Google form for yourself to delegate to your admin that these are the adjectives, this is the color palette, this is the description of scope, right? Or whatever the case may be. And all of those words are tied to an archive library where your assistant can basically put that entire presentation together.
Download your brain.
Literally.
Literally. They can download your brain and make it visual for the client so that you don't have to anymore. And one other like real reason for templates, because we know those designers who every single time they're doing it a little bit differently because they're in Canva and they're visual aesthetic people. And so it becomes the whole idea of a template is that when you make a change, when you decide to do it differently for one client for whatever reason, it's because of an educated choice that this would be a better fit for this client. But that mental exercise doesn't have to happen every time. We've settled on a template that you love, that represents you, that represents your business. And if you're making a change, it's very intentional. And then it's worth your time and it's worth that energy or your admin's time, whatever that is. We're not saying you're set in stone, you can never make a change again. But these templates allow you to relieve yourself of that mental hamster wheel every single time you get to this point in your project.
Now, once we do this, what it also does is totally inform your process and also inform your pricing tool, because if you're making enhancements, now your presentation, as you understand what the format and how large it's going to build out to be, informs the time of getting it done. So we're always pointing back as we develop something. But ultimately, once we have all of your internal foundation done, we're now really understanding the foundation of your process. So the very next thing we're going to shift to is the development of what your system of procedure is, from the start of that sales process all the way through to your final closeout, client presentation, the who's, what's, where's, when's, why's. How is it happening? Where is it happening in? Why is it happening this way? How is it getting organized? How is it getting archived? How is it getting delegated?
Where's the login credentials for that? Like, down to the T.
Yep. Linked to the template. It is the business. It is the document you will have to ever evolve. And that's what that next progression is. I also want to say it's very important that the foundational process we're mapping out is not the foundation of your marketing journey. We're kind of leaving that out.
Yep.
So I just want to mention that before people were like, well, what about this and this and my website and my CRM? That I like to put as a separate foundational timeline.
It's on the bottom. Like, here's your timeline. All this is up here. Marketing's running down below.
Yeah.
Because the timing of that will be very variable to where your business stands, because we want those projects to be very sustainable for what the business can carry.
The reason I put marketing on the outside is because for marketing, I like to do an analysis at the end of the year to understand what your profits are and invest back into your marketing from a very informed place.
Yep.
And eventually you're going to be tracking data along that to make adjustments. So what the financial profile of the company is directly informs that kind of marketing journey. And we're going to kind of talk through all of that probably on a separate show, because it's a lot, but I don't want to totally disconnect it, because there are things, for example, once we finish the onboarding process and we were talking about automation and we kind of swung into internal project templates, there is typically a stopping point right there to refresh and enhance the website, because remember, everything's connected.
Yeah.
So your lead gen and your sales funnel is connected to your website and connected to your automation platform if you're there.
Yeah. Segmenting those leads, making sure they're saved, all of that does connect here in a different storyline.
Yeah, the marketing is all connected to your growth marker. So this foundational track, regardless of where you are financially in the company, the foundational track is basically the same. We're working on all the same things. There are just levels of these things.
Levels and pace, I would say. Both of those are factors. The pace that you want to move through this at, depending on your financial, you know, where you stand, as well as, of course, how detailed and how far we want to take each of these projects, because we can absolutely meet you where you are. But all of these things are integral and foundational.
So we've worked on our sales process. We fixed our pricing model. We are closing. We have wireframed the onboarding journey for your client and internal processes. We have possibly automated. We are then looking at your internal project flow and template system, which is going to inform how much time goes into that process and the pricing model. And then we're working on documenting a very detailed system of procedure. So bringing it back to the top of the sales cycle all the way through to that close. And when we're working on this, there's really two strategies to it. And it really just depends on the designer's time and availability of commitment. Either this is a weekly strategy, an hour a week, you're showing up on a call and we are chomping away at this, because the detailed system of procedures typically comes out to about 50 pages long. It is extremely extensive. It is the Bible of your business. It just is. And so you're either working on that an hour a week with a coach and we're doing it live on the call, or you're putting in about an hour and a half biweekly and saving about an hour of execution time for your executive to be able to execute on deliverables. But this is an ongoing forever strategy that, yes, will be heavy in the beginning. And of course, we have templates and things to try and accelerate that process. But we focus on it heavy, and then you have a lower commitment of time down the line to it, but you're always returning to it. And so that's probably your longest project build out, your longest timeline of commitment to really crafting the who's, what's, where's, when's, and why's of every single aspect of your business's process.
Yep. And just to keep talking about the different variables of how people approach this, another thing too, and levels that we can do and pace, some designers will start just with what they're delegating. Let's create the really detailed system of procedures for everything that can't live in your head anymore because someone's actually going to be executing it. Eventually, we want to go beyond that because you need to document your business and step away from certain things, but we can start there so that your team has what they need to execute on your behalf.
Yeah. And then you're going to rock in that for a little bit, right? Because you have to execute on your processes to ensure that they're working in whatever you held yourself accountable to, you can actually hold yourself accountable to. And we love this as the reference point because if something's not going well, then that's the very first thing we're looking. Did the assistant follow the procedure? And did the owner follow the procedure?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's the owner who is not holding themselves accountable to submitting their time log to allow the process to fully execute to the assistant. And that's okay. You know, if we were going to lock a process one time, it was going to be perfect. I mean, I'd be charging a lot more for that. But the reality is we're still learning to discover who you are as a leader and how you're going to juggle growth and how you're going to balance everything. You are going to have to change things. And we might learn in the example of the time log that, okay, who cares? It's going to take what? An extra 3 minutes for them to pick up the phone at the end of the day and call you and just run you through and manually get them. That's okay. We're going to just change that process to work around that. And so that's why that written documentation is so important. Once we've gone through it a few times and you're building in volume, then we lock in that task manager and extra layer of technology like an Asana, a Monday, a Notion, a Programma, and take that whole process and go now automate it so that when that contract is signed and closed, Zapier just zaps it over to whatever project management software you're using and the entire templated process is there, programmed, ready to go. And at that point, you probably have an operations officer running assignments and things like that, but your process is totally streamlined. And that's really the end game we're looking at. And a lot of times that we catch people who they're not even delegating to assistants yet, and they're focusing their time on the end game. Waste of time. Total waste of time. Don't do it.
Because managing Asana is going to feel like a whole other job title for you. Like there are certain things that when you put them in the right order will create relief for you. And there are certain things you're doing that are actually causing additional burden to you. That's not what we want for you. So taking you through this foundational journey is really about getting you what you need at the right points in time to free yourself up, to make you replaceable inside the parts of your business where you should be replaceable.
Totally agree. And so that really is the end goal. I feel like we could probably give a really rough wireframe of that marketing journey that's happening inside of this foundation.
Well, I think saying end game feels very final, but let's not forget that after that, there is still that accountability, all those common topics that need to be touched on consistently. The deal tracker for referral partnerships, project tracking for your close rate, for your profitability, financial goal setting and tracking against that, optimizing your team, continuing to look at how you're delegating and if that's been successful and how we could further optimize that. Ongoing marketing strategy calls and things like that. So beyond foundation, there are also the foundational things you have to continue to check in on if you really want to be making choices and tracking data and doing everything from a place of understanding how your business is performing.
True. I mean, this is the core foundation that you're always going to return to. So it never stops. But through that foundation, I think what you're talking about is all these kind of coaching topics. We're talking about project foundation, but through establishing project foundation, there's also all these coaching topics that typically come up or accountability calls that will need to happen. You mentioned the accountability calls, the data tracking, the deal tracker, all these things that hold you as an owner accountable to key performance indicators to climb you to your goals. The consistency of the gym gets you the abs. The consistency of showing up in your business gets you business growth. That's just what it is. And along the way, there are topics that come up. And so those are good ones to definitely throw out because there's technology audits that happen all the time throughout this. Am I using the right technology?
I'm paying for this subscription, and this subscription. Where do they overlap? You're paying for Calendly and Dubsado. Did you know that Dubsado does scheduling? There are limitations. What's important? I mean, geez.
Yep. So whether we're simplifying, enhancing, auditing, and changing because you know what's going on, we also have conversations of product, which is a huge one. Some people are coming with a knowledge base of wholesale. Some people aren't. Some people have a knowledge base of custom. Some people don't. That pricing margin is all over the place, which is totally normal in the beginning, but we need to create structure and systematize so that in your written system of procedure, when we're notating procurement, these standardized markups, whether you're going to have a spreadsheet of all vendors or whether you're going to have a constant markup that then gets passed to you and then you make the final edits and break the consistency of that process, as you're going through that written documented process, these are the topics that come up. And then whoever is most relevant or strongest in those topics, we seat you with that executive to have that conversation. When consistency is there, there's also things of looking at the data to increase profitability in what you're doing. So a client right now, Brianna Williams, she does a lot of staging. It's a very fast pace. Like she's staged in like 2 weeks. And so what we're doing is looking at the volume of her sales and just isolating a couple different categories where we can take her margin from 20% to at least 50%, if not higher, and helping her, connecting her with some of my resources that go beyond the wholesale level and looking into some bulk purchasing so that her margins could be hopefully closer to 75% in certain categories. So depending on where you are, we're always returning to profitability. Can we work smarter and not harder and absorb more profits out of a project? And then loads of other topics, I feel like, come up throughout defining that process.
No business is exactly the same. It comes back to that foundational consistency of continuing to challenge yourself to look at how things are actually performing. Be critical with yourself or where you need to make changes. Be courageous to iterate when you need to cut things, to let something go when it doesn't work. That is still foundational. I feel like that showing up for that coaching and accountability. Yes, we think of it differently as these projects that you work on and then iterate on, but it is still part of that foundational benefit of having that executive team around you.
Lastly, I think what wraps up all of the foundation is just that mentality support. I can't say how many times that someone's been like, I just feel so much better after having this conversation with you. It is that support. It is that strategy, that conversation back and forth. We're never people to be like, this is the one way. No, there's multiple ways that things can get done. It's a sounding board to ping pong the pros and cons. And it's also, I'll always say, we're not here to focus on the things that are succeeding. We're here to fix everything around that that's not. So it doesn't matter if it's something different than maybe we're advocating on this podcast. If it works, it stays. Especially if profitability is controlled, don't care. Really don't care. Because that's what it's about.
Absolutely. And that's what I think a lot of designers kind of talk themselves out of. I just had a client yesterday email me. Okay, this was going to be my response to a client. I don't want her to be upset. I'm going to give her 2 free hours of sourcing time because, and I was like, wait a second, Nan, I feel like Nan would allow me to say her name. Nan, I love you so much. I'm so glad I was able to talk you out of this. I'm like, is this a difficult client or a client who's expressed any dissatisfaction? Like, why are you starting with, here's my free time? This was outside of your control that you did nothing wrong here. Let's recraft this email this way. And she literally emailed me back like, oh my gosh, this was so much better. My client didn't even blink. I'm so glad I just had someone to bounce this off of before I sent something that was reactive or selling myself short. And that goes to that mentality thing too, like having someone else in your corner with your best interest at heart. And if that client had responded and been upset, then you do the apology. Then you throw out some gives, you know? But really having someone stand behind you and cheer you on too, I think is a whole other side of the value of having a team behind you.
I couldn't agree more. So important, especially to have that high level thinker as well. It's very different with assistants versus the executive support team. As I say, assistants are executors. They do exactly what they're told. They're not ready to be strategists to help you make decisions. You can use them as a sounding board for your business, certainly, but I would not take the guidance of an assistant at all in developing the foundation of your business. They really are hired to be A-plus executors that follow instruction. I mean, the way in which we hire is kind of a booby trap to ensure we're not even looking at people who can't appropriately follow instruction. Because if the subject name isn't correct, if they haven't followed every single thing on what we want them to attach and put in the body of the email.
Yeah, I tell them different attachments and different file types. And if you don't catch that, don't have time.
Yeah, that's it. And so very high level of detail to them, but they are definitely not there to build the foundation of your business. They're not trained to.
Right. When that system of procedures is written, they will follow it to the T. But can it be their responsibility to think through all of the variations of how things might happen and how that affects things different? No, we wouldn't recommend that. Again, like not to say you can't talk to your assistant about strategy, but just remember those strengths and weaknesses. You know, let's give this example. We had an interior designer ask their assistant for something. Their assistant goes off and creates this big spreadsheet and, you know, is doing this whole exercise. We had a template. We had something we could have plugged in. Like that's on us and our communication with our team. We've addressed that. Always come to us. But that's a perfect example. You're going to get someone who's reinventing the wheel with you, which is exactly what this foundation is hopefully helping you avoid.
Yeah.
Anything else that you would want people to know about this foundation of the business, the journey that the bus is taking to kind of wrap this up?
Don't stop the bus because you get busy. If you are trying to grow, the bus never stops. So don't build yourself out of being the business owner. There are necessary things you have to do on a daily and weekly occasion that are non-negotiable, even if you are busy. If you become busy and you pull yourself out of the foundational things of the business, this is why you ebb and flow. This is why you have crazy high peaks and crazy low valleys, because you are not showing up consistently to take in leads consistently. And so as a result, all of these projects will start closing out around the same time. And then you panic and you're like, oh my God, I'm slow. And then your brain does the wrong thing and starts getting feared. And it does return to foundation because you're like, lead gen, I got to talk to people. I need to find the next job, But it's panicking. It's not taking advantage of that time to learn the problem. The problem is that you've pulled yourself out of the business. You need to lock in a routine that holds you accountable to the foundation of that business and start putting support around you so you stop bailing out on yourself and having these crazy highs and crazy lows. Because you are the one establishing it.
Yeah. When you have the right support around you, you will give yourself that freedom to work equally or at least close to equally working on your business as the owner of your business, as the CEO of your company, and working in your business as hopefully the principal designer, that high level inside your projects. That's our vision of success for you. That's where you're irreplaceable. We want you to consistently have the time to be both.
As we wrap up today's episode, we hope you're feeling inspired to take a closer look at the foundation of your business. Reminder, building strong systems and processes isn't just about organization. It's about giving yourself the freedom to focus on the creative work you love.
No matter where you are, whether you're just starting to put those foundational pieces into place or you're really ready to refine and scale, know that you don't have to do it alone. Our executive team is here to support you every step of the way, helping you turn overwhelm into clarity and chaos into confidence.
To make it even easier, we've put together a free one-page guide that outlines the key foundational steps we've covered today. You can get your free copy by joining our email list at fordesignerbusiness.com/subscribe.
And if you're ready to talk through your next steps or just want some personalized guidance, we'd love to talk to you. Visit fordesignerbusiness.com to schedule a free call with our team or check out the show notes for a direct link.
Thanks again for joining us on For Designer Business. If you enjoyed today's episode, help us grow this amazing community of like-minded designers by taking a moment to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. And remember, we're cheering you on as you create the business and the life you've always envisioned. Until next time, keep designing and keep dreaming.